Grammar quizzes can turn up in the oddest places. Linguist Jeff Nunberg found that out when a friend of his steered him to last month's Cosmo magazine.
Alice has her feminist credentials so squarely in line that she can get away with reading anything. "You want to look at Cosmopolitan," she told me. "They have a grammar quiz in there." I told her I'd pick it up, asked her what was on the cover. She snorted. "It's Cosmopolitan," she said. "What do you think is on the cover?" I found the quiz anyway, in the back of the April issue, between a feature on Heather Locklear and an ad for an exercise video called Buns of Steel. "How good is your grammar?" it said. "That pretty little mouth of yours may not always say the correct thing." I figured it was going to be one of those dress for success kinds of things, but most of the sentences in the test had nothing to do with the language that Cosmopolitan girl might use when she goes for a job interview. They were written in that sassy dialect that Cosmo likes to imagine its readers use with each other when they're touching up their blush in the ladies' room. Can you spot the grammatical errors in the following? "Between you and I think Marcy and John are sleeping together." "The madness of the affair," furtive kisses, secret phone calls, weekend getaways, "are what really appealed to her." "I can swing the Todd Oldham dress if my mother loans me the money." "Any chance of him meeting us after the Pearl Jam concert?" "I'm going to St. Kitts. Which bikini do you think I should bring with me?" Actually, I missed that one, since I've always been a little fuzzy on the bring-take business. I thought the problem was that Cosmo uses bikini as a plural. The whole quiz had the lubricious tone of every other feature in the magazine. I half expected to come to the end and find something like, "Add up your score. If you got more than 12, you are multi-orgasmic." It's a curious incongruity. I mean, you think about grammar, you think of a gray, neutered place with two stone lions at its gates, one of them a fifth-grade schoolmarm, and the other some old curmudgeon like William Sapphire or Edwin Newman. The country of grammar is the North Korea of language, with avenues lined with neoclassical facades and all the televisions locked on McNeil Lehrer and C-SPAN. It isn't a place I ordinarily think of that Cosmopolitan girl as hanging out in. I think of her as someone who uses like as a conjunction, says ain't when she feels like it, and swears while she's trying to light up in a convertible. Still, why shouldn't she indulge in a little correct grammar now and then? A nice touch, like linguistic lip liner. I can hear the magazine now. Just the thing to keep him interested. That pretty little mouth of yours drawn in a pout as it closes around a whom. That coy overture when he calls you from a payphone. "My roommates are all at the beach. There's no one here but little old I." Indeed, why not? After all, grammar's gotten to be a pretty dreary business. We seem to have lost sight of the fact that the word grammar is related to glamour via an old Scottish word that means sorcery. Maybe that's just the fate that grammar deserves, is to become so arcane and retro that it starts to sound kinky. It seems unnatural for a decade that's seen the revival of the Wonder Bra and the corset, a hint of uplift, a soupçon of constraint. Now there's an MTV video for the 90s, Madonna in A Merry Widow singing "I Am a Grammatical Girl." And thank goodness we still have Helen Gurley Brown around to write a sequel to her 60s bestseller. This time she can call it Sex and the Singular Verb.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.